Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And
what?
Ladylike.
Yes.
Last week on Minority Corner, what did we talk about?
What a week.
I know.
I talked about how it was the gayest, blackest Super Bowl that in the history of mankind. I can't believe we're not all going to hell in a handbasket. Or white people, straight white people, get over yourselves. Ain't nothing wrong with a gay black Super Bowl.
I know. Well, I mean, come on. We are Minority Corner. It's kind of what we do.
Yes. We planned the Super Bowl.
We did. I talked about the Black Panthers and their timeline and how people need to actually open up a book and do some research.
Yes. And I think you're on the cutting edge because I've been sending so many different posts about the history of the Black Panthers and we're really opening that up. So kudos to you, girl. You are on the front lines, leading the charge.
Ooh, thank you. You know that I'm always ahead of the game.
I know you are. You invented the game, girl. And we talked about our Valentine's Day plans. I wonder if our predictions came true. We'll find out.
Well, the world did not end, so at least we know that.
Oh, good. Yay. Ghostbusters Part 2, you were fucking wrong.
You're a liar.
And this week on Minority Corner...
What are you talking about?
Ooh, girl, we're gonna go home. And I mean homeless.
Oh.
We're talking about the homelessness epidemic happening specifically about LGBT youth.
Oh, man. And I'm going to talk about women in the recording industry.
Uh-oh.
Hashtag free Kesha.
Poor Kesha. Kesha, we got your... Minority Corner has your back. We love you, girl, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we do. All right. Shall we go?
Girl, I'm hot. I'm ready. Let's get in there. I'm too excited.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Ooh.
I'm so scared.
Why'd you take those studying pills, Jesse? I'm watching you. Hey, James.
Oh, hey, girl, hey. And I can guess what?
What?
I'm in a closet.
What?
I'm in a closet. I don't know how this happened, but I'm in a closet.
Who put you in there? Did you put yourself in there?
I put myself in a closet. But not...
Did Stacey Dash put you in there?
Fuck her. I'm not in the closet, but I keep trying different things. And last week I was in a stranger's home.
Yeah, it was dark and it was scary and it looked like Blair Witch Project. It was amazing.
Although in one of the rooms I recorded and it looked like a, you know, fancy pants museum because I was in the Upper East Side in Fancy Town.
Woo. Yes.
But no, this time I'm in a closet. I'm just trying something different and my own little recording booth. It's kind of cozy. There's a jacket.
Oh, do you have light? There, or are you just in the dark?
I'm whispering. Actually, someone's trying to kill me. I can't talk too loud.
Oh,
this
no.
is the last thing you'll ever hear from me.
It's like the dangerous Minority Corner episode where James escapes a murder.
Yeah. Oh, this sounds like an episode of How to Get Away with Murder, which, just to...
Uh-huh.
When I called Aneke up, I was like, hey, Aneke, ready and excited. And she's like, hey. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, just reading this recap of How to Get Away with Murder. And was this an episode you already watched and then you read the recap?
Yeah, this is the one that I started when we were recording last time.
Oh.
Actually, no. I lied.
It's all full circle. It's like you're continuing the storyline.
No. I watched the next one last night. Sorry, I got confused.
Oh.
And then I was reading the recap of that. Vulture.com has great recaps. I highly recommend it. They are hilarious. But then also I was reading like a dramatic scene that happened in How to Get Away with Murder. And you just happened to call right in the middle of it. So I was kind of like, hey.
Oh, so that's why you were a little disappointed. I haven't started watching. But I did start reading Shonda Rhimes' book. The Year of Yes.
And how is it? Is it good?
First of all, I started watching. She did a TED Talk. Please don't run. Don't walk. Just teleport to your nearest computer machine. And
I love teleporting.
You've got to
do
it.
It's the most convenient way to travel.
Exactly. That's the only way I do it. I, you know, teleport. Hello.
Welcome to the future. Hello.
Hello. Tesla predicted this. Oh, by the way, speaking of Tesla, I was going to save this at the end, but Jerome, my boyfriend, he's been catching up on the episodes.
Oh, yes.
And he sided with you on the Artesla argument and debate.
Yes, I knew I liked him.
He sided with you. I was like, but baby.
I knew I liked him.
He said, and I quote.
What's up, Jerome?
He said, and I quote, in a, I'm going to do a terrible French accent. He said, but baby, you were out of control. He doesn't sound like that. But he told me I was out of control. He said that I was too drunk. He could practically smell the liquor on my breath. And,
this is amazing.
He said that Tesla wasn't trying to predict fashion, but technology. So.
Ooh, I like that. I like it a lot, and I like Jerome a lot.
Yeah, whatever. He's okay. He's all right. Whatever. In this one instance. Okay. Where's my support, baby? I
really like out of control. Like, you out of control. I'm, like, imagining you, like, smashing things against the wall and being like, get out! I hate Tesla!
When you left the house, we barely spoke to each other. It was really weird.
We were like, okay, bye.
Shonda Rhimes, she did this TED Talk, and it was about the year of Yes, and that, watching that 20-minute TED Talk changed everything for me. I didn't run. I didn't walk. I teleported to the nearest Barnes & Noble and picked up her book.
Ooh.
Her book is amazing. It makes you realize what an amazing, phenomenal writer she is, because you, although it's like, it's her life, but she writes it like it's almost like fiction, but it's not. You're like, just the way that she writes, it's like reading a story, and it's fucking amazing. And it will change your life.
What's the name of it again?
So everybody, The Year of Yes. So we're going to start a Minority Corner book club, and this is our first our first book. So everybody, Minority Corner kids, go read that book.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
While you let the listeners know.
Oh yeah, Anneke is like, this is new. We have a new thing. And you haven't.
We have a book club now?
You haven't even read the book. Anneke, get on the program. Come on, let's go. But you know what?
The readers need your input.
Can we also start a Minority Corner GoFundMe campaign?
For what? What do we need money for?
Lauryn Hill, because we need to buy her a watch.
Oh, because she was non-existent in the Grammys? She's
Lauryn Hill missed her Grammy Awards performance performing with The Weeknd.
I gotta tell you, I'm not surprised, because me and Andrew went to go see her, I think maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
One, she was late as hell. We were like waiting for
a
week.
So she really needs a watch.
Yeah, she needs
a
watch.
She like really fucking needs a watch.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
And she was crazy. Girl. She was like, it was just, it was bizarre. It was one of the most bizarre concerts I've ever been to. I do not doubt the fact that she needs a watch, and she needs a hug. She needs maybe some calm down pills.
I mean, she did go to jail. She did go to jail, so maybe that fucked with her or something. Did she stay at the concert, and was Andrew uncomfortable because she was like, hey, white people,
no.
This music is not for you.
No, she didn't do that.
Did she say that?
No, she was too busy yelling at her band. She was like running around being like, no, start over. You were doing it wrong. Like, everybody was uncomfortable in the audience because she was yelling at her poor band members up there.
So it just looks like a really bad rehearsal.
Yes. With like a tyrant.
Like, you're just watching a rehearsal. And apparently she was supposed to perform with The Weeknd, who I love. I don't know if you listened to The Weeknd's album.
Yeah.
He's kind of, did I talk about this? Like,
maybe just to me personally.
He takes you on this journey. I was listening to it when I was in Europe, you know, me traveling. And he takes you on this journey where it's almost uncomfortable because the way he talks about women. But then in the end, he's like, I just want to be loved and I want to hug and want to fall in love. But if you want to leave me for somebody else, I just want you to be happy, girl.
Oh.
So it kind of takes you on this arc and this journey.
With a feminist twist at the end. I'm not hating on that.
He just needs a hug. So then apparently Lauryn Hill's people were like, no, she wasn't going to perform. And there's, like, pictures of her at rehearsal.
Stop it.
Probably yelling at the band.
I know. And The Weeknd.
And then she showed up, like, late, and they were like, Lauren, we can't let you on stage. So.
What? Oh.
The first Minority Corner GoFundMe account.
For Lauryn Hill to get a watch. A Casio.
Yeah.
Or a Swatch. Remember Swatches?
Ooh. If anybody could bring back Swatches, it's Lauryn fucking Hill. We're all just waiting for her to do another album. And Kerry Washington, Mary J. Blige, and Taraji P. Henderson love...
With that commercial?
They love the miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And do you know how we know? The commercial. Have you seen it? That commercial?
Yes. Can I just tell you, after watching that commercial, I cannot even imagine Kerry Washington hanging out with Tarisha P. Henson and...
Because they're very different.
Mary J. Blige and Tarisha were like, woo! And Kerry Washington's like, yay! Yes, ladies!
Yay! Yeah. Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, there's a commercial with these three amazing, you know, these pillars of, you know, culture right now.
Yes.
Kerry Washington, Mary J. Blige, and Tarisha P. Henderson just talking about music that they love.
It's yes.
A commercial for Apple Music.
In, like, a living room?
No, it's like out. It's like an outside, like, foyer, fireplacey, you know, bungalow.
It looks like where Oprah hosts her Super Soul Sundays.
It does. It kind of looks like Waiting to Exhale Part 2.
It does.
I would love to see.
Wait,
I'm loving that commercial.
Wait, you didn't know that that's how black women hang out? We just love, like, a nice, soft, lit, inside-outside, wicker chair kind of... scenario.
Oh, I didn't know that. To talk.
That's what I'm doing right now.
And you all just sort of gather around and talk about the music you love?
Yes.
Last thing before we jump into, well, unless you have other things, but can we just, I
like how you barely squeezed in if I had anything that I wanted to.
And okay, there's no time. I'm going to cut this from the episode. I'm sorry. I had like 3 cups of coffee before we started this.
I could tell you are like a mile a minute. It was like our last episode was so... Our last episode was so low key that you're like, you can't.
I'm making up for it.
Like, you're making up for it right now.
I felt like I was on NPR last week. I was like, so today.
It was quiet.
I am in a cave.
It was a quiet, gentle episode.
There is an old white man behind me. So I'm going to talk about old white man from the South.
Then
I'm going to talk about the Black Panthers very quietly in his house.
Oh, so good.
But I was going to wait till the end of the episode, but I would love if we can, you know, if you're just joining us, sometimes we put people in corners. So there's a, like,
yes,
a go fuck yourself corner. And then there's like a uplifting corner.
Yes.
And I would like to just jump the gun because I can't fucking wait.
Okay.
And I would like to put Bette fucking Midler in the, like, you're awesome corner.
Oh my God. Please tell the listeners I love this.
Because Bette Midler... First of all, she asked President Obama to pardon 20 Black Panthers.
Yes, Bette Midler.
And then, you know, there's that movie Gods of Egypt coming out, which has once again whitewashed Egypt and the Middle East and Africa. It's starring just an all cast of white people. And there's like a black person.
Can I just bring up real quickly? Every single biblical movie out there only has, like, Irish, English-looking people in it. If you go to the Middle East...
Ireland is hella far away
people
from...
People do not look like that.
Not at all. And, in fact, that's exactly what Bette Midler tweeted. She said, movie, hashtag Gods of Egypt, in which everyone is white, Egyptian
man.
In history and today have, in all caps, never been white. And then in all caps, bring back geography, it's Africa.
Oh my God, I love her. I love her so much. I've loved her since Mermaids.
I thought you were going to say The Little Mermaid.
No.
Like, I don't remember. I don't think she was in that.
She did Mermaids. What else did she do too? Oh. She did another one. Oh God, I love her. Maybe, no.
She just fucking...
Wait, Mermaids was Cher.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was thinking, wasn't Cher the one with that guy with the weird face?
That's the mask.
Moon face?
That's the mask.
It's called Moon.
Well, there's Moonstruck
S&M,
with Nick Cage.
The mask? You mean the mask starting Jim Carrey?
No.
Smoking.
You got too much coffee in.
Smoking.
You got too much coffee.
Don't tell me what to do, Aneke. I can quit anytime. Is this an intervention?
God damn. Beaches. That's the one. Beaches is the one with Bette Midler.
Oh, and I don't think there's any mermaids in that, Aneke. So you were way off.
And do you know who plays a young Bette Midler in Beaches?
Cher.
No.
Taraji P. Henderson or Henson?
Blossom.
Blossom?
Yes.
She had all those crazy hats on.
I know.
Remember all those hats?
I had one.
She wasn't the cutest girl, but she proved, you know what, television, it's time.
Mm-hmm. She worked it, and she is like a major scientist now and an actress at the same time.
Yeah, on that terrible show that people continue to watch, The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh,
I don't get it.
But I just wanted to like say to Meryl Streep, you need to wake up and pay attention in the words of Sister Act 2. We talk about that movie a lot. And
yeah, we did.
Lauryn Hill. Because this is how you be an ally, you know. And Meryl Streep, she has no problem with all these white actors playing, you know, people from Africa because, in Meryl Streep's idea, well, they're all from Africa, because we're all Africans.
Come on.
And I will the Lionsgate studio did apologize because they fucked up in their casting.
Okay.
But I think they're just saying that because they know their movie is going to get boycotted. No one's going to come watch this movie.
People are moving away from biblical movies. I really don't think a lot of people like that stuff anymore.
It's not even that. Like, seriously, if you had cast, I love Egyptian gods. I mean, this isn't a biblical movie. This is about, like, you know, Egyptian mythology.
Right. Yeah, which makes absolutely no sense. Like, come on. So, Egypt's in Africa.
And I love mythology, like, especially Egyptian mythology. It's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Big budget, special effects, gods, you know, with all these powers and shit. Like, I'm all for it, but you gotta cast this shit right.
Right. Like, at least make it diverse. Like, add a couple of different people in there if you want to, like...
There's one black person in there.
I don't know.
So, I mean, this just goes into the long... In the past year, we've had this movie, Stonewall, Aloha, which had Emma Stone, who played a half-Chinese person. Exodus, in which the director was like, I can't cast Muhammad what's-his-name in it. And
that was ridiculous.
And the new MJ movie, starring a white dude.
That's ridiculous.
So, and people, like, are not... All of these movies have bombed because people just... We can't have this.
Come on, Hollywood. Like, figure it out. There's so many actors out there of different races and ethnicities and different looks. Utilize it. Make it more interesting.
Yep. So, thank you, Bette Midler. You are in the awesome corner.
You are in the way awesome corner. Come on the show.
Yeah, she probably would.
I mean... I would kind of be freaked out if she came into my house to record, but I'd still do it.
Would you invite her to your Black Lady lounge set? She can come in.
With my wicker chairs.
She's an ally.
Mary J. Blige will be there randomly.
She's just hanging out because she's sad and has no friends.
Oh, man. Well, shall we go to the corners?
Yeah, where are we going? We're going to go to your corner.
Yes, we are.
The ladies of recording.
Ladies and recording industry.
Ooh, is this like the ladies of leisure?
Not really.
Okay, well, I can't wait to find out.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Where are we?
Ooh, we are in my corner. Welcome to my corner. It's called the Ladies in Music, the Music Industry and Ladies Corner.
Wow, sounds delicious.
James decided to get a banana right before we hit record.
I'm hungry. I'm hoping this banana will help me calm the fuck down.
Because you've had too much coffee?
I did. I am, like, fucked up right now.
Oh, my God. It's probably sloshing around in your belly. You need to, yeah, you needed something to eat.
I am the great cornholio.
That coffee needs to eat something.
I need a teepee for my bunghole. Remember Beavis and Butthead?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, I'm excited for this. Well, not excited, but I'm ready for you to expose the shit out of this.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So you might have been wondering... All of you, James, and all the listeners who listen to Top 40 Music, where our beloved Kesha has gone.
Yeah, I've been wondering, and I will say I'm not the biggest fan, but I...
She's been in the mainstream music for quite some time, and then she just kind of dropped out of nowhere.
She did, and I was like, what happened? And I do. She wrote Till the World Ends that my girl Britney Spears sang.
Mm-hmm.
She was on a remix version that didn't go anywhere. And you know who produced that?
Who?
Dr. Luke.
Oh, interesting. Because back in 2014, Kesha filed a lawsuit against the music producer, Dr. Luke.
What?
Who is a huge music producer. She accused him.
It's been around forever.
I know. So she's accused him of sexual assault, battery, drug coercion, and verbal abuse.
Damn.
So one instance, she claims that he forced her to snort something before getting on a plane. And during the trip on the plane, he forced himself on her.
Was this like...
And that's just
few. Was this like a public American Airlines airline or like a private jet?
Private jet.
Okay, because I was like, where's the stewardess being like, excuse me, I know. Sir?
Well, there are probably other people on the plane. It probably wasn't the two of them, which is just so creepy. So I'm bringing this up because there's been like a huge pattern... Not only in the music industry, but also in, like, the acting world. People have heard of the casting couches. And everybody wants to know, and also with this whole Bill Cosby rape trial stuff.
Thing, yeah.
everybody says, well, why don't women speak up? Why don't women speak up? And this is a great example as to what happens when you speak up.
I'm also, before you go any further, I'm almost terrified of what happened to Britney Spears.
Nobody knows.
Because he did, her entire album of Femme Fatale was produced by Max Martin and Dr. Luke. And he also did Womanizer.
Well, let me just explain who Dr. Luke is so people can kind of get a scope of how big he is if they don't happen to know about the music industry.
Yes.
He started out as a guitar player in the Saturday Night Live house band.
Oh.
And from there, he turned into the super producer. Like, he's worked with Pink, Avril Lavigne, Katy Perry, Kelly Clarkson, B.O.B., Britney Spears, like you said, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna,
damn,
T.I.,
damn,
Miley Cyrus, oh, Jessie J, mm, Neo, mm, Shakira,
yeah,
Pitbull, and, like, even more. So he's worked with everybody across music genres. He is a big deal.
And I wonder how many of those that he drugged.
Right?
Do you think Pitbull?
Exactly. And he basically convinced Kesha to drop out of high school when she was 17, and she signed on to his record label, Kimosabe, which is...
ugh. Which, of course, you would do if you were 17 years old and this huge music producer,
right,
came your way.
Exactly. She signed with him at 18, and she's basically been under his record label for 10 years now. So she started at 18, and she's now 28. So it's been a long time.
She's 28?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I know.
I didn't know she was that old. And how did he become this famous from just playing in the goddamn Saturday Night Live band, playing the same song?
I have no idea.
Week.
I don't know. But he is in cahoots with Sony Music. So his label, Kimosabe, is under Sony Music. So people who are signed...
Why is that the name of his album?
I can't even. That's a whole nother can of worms to open that I don't even want to. He sucks, basically.
Next week.
So he's also... She also claimed in her lawsuit against him that... he said things like, you are not that pretty, you are not talented, you're lucky to have me. And he also said that she is a fat fucking refrigerator.
That fucking breaks my heart.
I know, which caused her to, of course, get an eating disorder, because when she was 17 and 18 working with this guy, highly damaged her, drugs all the time.
Ugh.
She claimed at least twice he's raped her.
Ugh. I mean,
and
this is like Stockholm syndrome. I mean, he's like destroying her and then like building her up, like, you know, I'm the only one that's, you know, like that,
right,
sort of a thing. Like, he's...
So she went to rehab for 60 days to fix drug problems and also her eating disorder. And she came out of that and was like, oh, hell no, I need to get away from this guy. So that's why she filed this lawsuit where she was like, I need to get out of this contract. I need to record my own music, because basically he's been controlling her image, her music. The whole last album that she released in 2014, she says she had no part in. It was all him.
Yeah.
So she had, like, absolutely no say.
Wow. Is he also responsible for her raccoon makeup?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think he's responsible for this image. She basically was saying, like, I need to show other sides of me. She changed that dollar sign to just a regular S. She's trying to be softer. She's trying to be more mature. And
good. That makes sense.
Apparently, this is, like, he doesn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
It's just awful for her.
Dr. Luke is probably the reason why I don't actually fully like Kesha, because he made her into, like, this deal, this completely manufactured pop act. Like, it comes off as inauthentic.
She's even said that she doesn't want to be a parody of herself. She wants to show other sides, but he's in control of her music, so to save herself, she needs to get out of the contract.
Obviously, because she probably, like, doesn't even feel safe, right? I mean, he's being super abusive to her. And, I heard, correct me if I... Did you hear about this? That, like, he is claiming, like, a defamation of character lawsuit or some sort of bullshit, right? Because he's, like, she just wants to get out of her contract or something?
Thankfully, the judge tossed that out.
Good.
So, this has been going on forever. Basically, so that was 2014 when she filed that lawsuit. It's
right.
Just been going on forever. And then in 2015, Kesha, she sought out a court injunction that would let her record without Dr. Luke.
Thank God.
Yeah, so basically, she's kind of, because she's signed and her contract is an exclusivity clause, meaning that she has to work with Sony, and with Dr. Luke's label Kimosabe. That's the only way that she can record music is with his label, with him, and with Sony.
Ugh.
Which her lawsuit is against.
This contract is like a deal with the devil.
I know. It's so scary. So,
like, she just wants to make music and she can't do it outside of this monster.
Exactly. So, in September of last year, she revealed in an affidavit that a label exec said, hey, you know what? You need to start releasing some music or your career is going to die.
Right.
Which is so true, because as a pop star, if you stop making music after a couple years,
yeah,
nobody gives a shit about you.
Right. She's gotta,
they're like, who? What?
She's got to do the Rihanna. The Rihanna, like, saturated the market. She had a new album for, like, 8 years. A new album every
exactly
year.
Exactly. Every single year.
Kesha's too soon to, like, just disappear.
Exactly. So that's why she's kind of been, she sought that injunction so she could record some music, because she's like, look, I'm waiting for this trial to happen, but I still need to keep my career going. I have to record some music. So she was either faced with the choice of letting her career die or record with her abuser. So the injunction would let her record without him. And she even said, look, I'll record with Sony. I just don't want to record with him.
Which is not, like, that doesn't seem like the hugest thing to ask for.
Right? I mean, this is her career. And she can't help that she was, like, basically in an abusive work and personal relationship for 10 years.
Her safety has been, her safety is compromised. Like, who legally would make someone go back to someone who has abused her mentally, physically, sexually, in all these ways.
Right. And so Sony is siding, of course, with Dr. Luke and Kimosabe, and saying, they're basically saying that Kesha, this is all just her renegotiation of her contracts. That's all it is. It's just a big spectacle for that, which is disgusting, because obviously it's about abuse, like, and her safety.
Like, the, like, so they're saying that she's making this up, that she's just making
mm-hmm.
up. Oh, God. That's and, like, I don't
know. So that
even,
was a court case.
I don't even have the statistics, but it's such a small fraction of, like, women don't lie about rape. Like, who would want to go through all of that? If anything,
right,
it's the other way around. The women don't come forward and actually say what's happening. Like, even in the Bill,
exactly,
in the Bill Cosby case, like, these women have been, you know, raped by this man who is America's, you know, sweetheart and America's dad. And, you know, some of these women mm-hmm. are probably thinking, it must have been me and just me, or maybe it's something that I brought upon myself, or maybe I'm, you know, making it up, or who will believe me?
Right.
So all these questions are coming into their mind. And then one by one, they're like, oh, wait, this happened to you? Like, they start to see
yeah.
that this is happening. Dr. Luke has done this to other women.
So last Friday, the New York Supreme Court ruled on that injunction, and they basically stated that, no, Kesha can't record without Kimosabe.
I don't understand that. I fucking don't understand that. I'd even go to law
right?
school, and I'm not a judge, and I could be like, no, go record your music. Dr. Luke, go to fucking jail. Done. Case closed.
Right. So they basically are stating that her contract that she signed is more important than her safety.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Where's Judge Judy? She needs to go to Judge Judy. Because Judge Judy would not fucking have this.
I know. It's out of control. And the saddest part is she was sitting in the back of the courtroom sobbing when she heard that.
I saw the pictures. They're fucking heartbreaking.
It's awful.
So fucking heartbreaking. I now want to go buy, like, Kesha music. Like, I never thought in a million years I would go to her concert just because I want to support her. She's been through
it's
so
ridiculous.
Much. Like,
it's silencing her. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. And, like, I don't know. Like, her whole court case against Sony and Dr. Luke is still going on. But the thing that everybody's really upset about is the fact that this judge totally ruled that she just can't go record, basically shutting her up and valuing her contract and valuing Sony and Dr. Luke's word over hers, which speaks to the reason why a lot of women don't step up.
Because,
you know,
yeah, and, like, these courts are not, for one, she probably got raked through the coals as, like, I don't even want to know the things that were just probably said about her in the courtroom about, you know, she's
yeah.
like a whore and a slut
right.
and all this sort of stuff. So these women get, like, when they do step up, raked through, like, the fucking coals
mm-hmm.
and have to relive the trauma publicly just because they to be safe and to seek some sort of retribution. And then in the end, for she should be able to be free to
it's ridiculous.
Record her own music. She's an artist. Like, this is bullshit.
She's contract an artist. She's null and right. void.
Like, I couldn't imagine, like, mm-hmm. being, like, my boss had sexually done something or raped me or something, and then I still have to go to work for them? Like, what is right. this, 1955?
Right, exactly. You know, like, and I'm bringing this up just to bring kind of, like, awareness of what's going on with Kesha. Like, yet again, as a librarian, I want, like, there's a lot of stories out there that people might be hearing bits and pieces about and then just kind of going on with their day. But I highly encourage people to kind of read into it, look into it, actually see what's going on. And it speaks deeper into the industry. It speaks deeper into what these artists are going through and how things may be different for, you know, pop stars who look like they have, like, everything working for them. When it could be, like, it usually is really dark and scary. Yeah. And a lot of these people and women are, you know, taken advantage of when they're young.
Right.
A lot of these are, even men and women mm-hmm. who are signed onto contracts when they are young and impressionable and trying to make a career for themselves, and these big corporations and producers will take advantage of the artist. It's disgusting. Absolutely. It's disgusting.
And it's been happening for so long. I mean, this right. literally reminds me of What's Love Got to Do with It, starring Angela Bassett, playing the role of Tina Turner, to which she should have won the Oscar for.
Right.
And all Tina ended up walking out of that courtroom was her name.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she
That's
got.
That's ridiculous.
After, you know, Ike had physically, similarly, Ike had, you know,
yes.
physically abused her, sexually abused her, mentally abused her, and all she wanted ridiculous. Was her fucking, to that name, Tina Turner, and that's all she walked out of that courtroom with, which they're actually mm-mm-mm. turning that into a musical.
Mm.
Yes, and it starts from the moment she walks out of that courtroom and her
ooh,
rebuilding herself and,
yes.
and her name.
Okay, good, because I'm sick of hearing about Ike Turner. I want to hear about the Tina Turner story, about her rise to fame again. That's awesome.
Yeah, fuck that. And I want in that musical, and I want to play the part of Tina Turner.
Oh, okay.
Rolling, rolling, ha! A do 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 a ba da do a boo da do a da 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 ba do ba ba do da do.
I highly recommend doing Rolling on the River for karaoke. It brings down the house. I've done it multiple times, and it's been multiple hits. Thank you very much.
Okay. We should start doing Minority Corner karaoke parties.
Ooh, I like that. Well, I like it a lot. Yeah. That's good. So there we go. Pay attention
Thanks.
To the artists. Support them. Love them. Because a lot of these corporations and evil producers are whack as hell.
Yeah. And we need to really support our ladies and really... we need to support our ladies. Like, they're coming forward with this... We need to support
yes.
them and not
yes.
and not victim blame and turn it around.
No.
And they're going through enough. How can we support? And like you said, this is happening to men, and women and men. And with men, I can imagine there's even more shame. And actually, mm-hmm. next week, I'm actually going to talk about that in even further detail.
Yep. Next week?
Next week. Little teaser.
Okay.
I'm going to take
a little taste of the future.
Taking the conversation a little further. So.
I like it.
We're going to go to my corner coming up next after the little musical interlude.
Ooh, okay. I'm ready.
And later on, Aneke, I think we should answer some fan mail. There's been questions people have been asking. How did we meet?
We actually got a question. I'm so excited, and we highly encourage you guys to ask us more questions.
Yep. That's coming in at the end of the episode. So let's get to the next corner.
Okay, let's go.
Aneke?
Yes.
It's time to wake up and pay attention.
But I'm awake. I'm awake. I'm ready. I'm alert. I am looking
but
around.
I don't think,
who's behind me?
Not,
who's in front of me?
Well, it's all around you, actually.
Oh, my God.
We have a huge problem, an epidemic, and it is the homelessness of LGBT youth.
Oh.
So first of all, we're just going to go to a little story time. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Okay, I'm ready.
So a lot of this, Rolling Stone just did a huge article about the LGBT homelessness that's happening.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And it's nothing new. It's been happening, but it's been very sort of invisible and hidden. And
People don't talk about it at all.
And that's why we're going to talk about it. So
okay.
The first story that I'm going to tell you is about a girl named Jackie. Jackie was a straight-A student. She was president of all of her different clubs, and she was in all these different sports. She was also part of a Catholic family. She went to Mass about 3 times a week. And about growing up, she always felt that, like, something was different about her. And her family had suggested she get a boyfriend, and she did, because she was like, okay, I got to do whatever my parents tell me to do.
And one, can I pause you? Because that is weird.
Okay.
I would be so annoyed if my mom was like, go get a boyfriend.
Exactly. She went to the University of Idaho, and she rushed a sorority, and she, she was doing the sorority thing. She was, you know, she thought it was, you know, normal to, you know, kiss other girls that when you got drunk or whatnot. And she started through college realizing, oh shit, like, I'm gay. And she had grown up in a household where they use, you know, fag a lot. She knew that it was just something that, like, being gay, you just didn't do. Mm-hmm. And she would have different, like, girl crushes, but she was like, oh, I'm just gay for you. I'm just gay for this friend. And then one of those friends became a really good friend, as in her girlfriend. Then her sorority saw a picture of her kissing a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tribunal. They had a tribunal.
What?
Because there was a fear that because she was gay, she was obviously going to try to, you know, lick all the girls' vajayjays, because that's what happens when you're gay. Just want to fuck
you turn into
everything that is the same
a vagina
sex.
Vampire, and you have to just live that way.
She's a vagina monger.
You don't
She's
have
a vagina monger.
You're not like.
And she just nom,
you're just attracted to everybody. Because. So stupid.
Jackie, knowing that was not true, she went to the tribunal, and they're like, okay, you're fine. But she knew that she was like, oh shit, like, people know that I'm gay now, or that she came out. She was like, I gotta tell my parents. So Jackie had a phone call with her parents, and it went like this.
Uh-oh.
She said, you can't hate me after this. Her mom said, oh my god, you're pregnant. Are you in jail? Did you get expelled? Are you in trouble? What happened? What did you do? Oh my god. Are you gay? Jackie responded, yeah. And there was a long, long, long pause. And her mother said, I don't know what we could have done for God to have given us a fag as a child.
That's disgusting.
So this killed Jackie. Well, I'm sorry, not literally.
Okay, good.
Obviously, sorry, set that up way wrong.
Okay.
But it destroyed her.
God,
and
this is awful. Awful.
And keep in mind, you know, she's, you know, part of this, you know, super religious family. And she then was like, oh shit, well, I'm gonna go to Canada for my birthday, as you do. She went with her friends, and her debit card stopped working, and she thought that this was because she was in a different country. But then her brother called her and said,
uh-oh,
Mom and Dad don't want to talk to you, but I'm supposed to tell you what's going to happen. All of your cards are going to be shut off, and Mom and Dad want you to take the car and drop it off at this specific location. Your phone's going to last this much longer. They don't want you coming to the house, and you're not to contact them. You're going to get this amount of money from them, nothing else. And if you don't return the car, they're going to report it stolen.
How do you do this to your child?
That's what, yes. Well, I have a few different other stories that I kind of want to expose here as well. So she then, you know, she lost her apartment. She didn't have any money. She had to figure out how she was going to pay for college that she was in the middle of. And she still hasn't had any contact with her parents. And she had thought about, you know, doing conversion therapy because she knew that would bring her families back.
No.
But she knew that it would just be a lie. And she's written to them, and there's nothing. So Jackie is one of many. So LGBT people make up about 5% of the population, but they LGBT youth make up 40% of the homeless youth population.
That's insane.
Letting those numbers sink in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because
that's this year.
What? That's That's currently the statistic of it. 40% of the homeless youth population in America are made up of LGBT people, even though we only make up 5% of the population. And part of this is probably, like, they're seeing that the average age for kids who are coming out, it used to be that kids were coming out in college back in the 90s, and now they're coming out around 16. Because we have internet, there's media progression, there's visibility and advancements. So kids are starting to feel like they can come out earlier, but these kids are now still products of their religious households. So, you know, it's not a surprise that it's found that kids who are in religious households, and when they come out, they're more likely to be shunned and kicked out and abandoned by their family.
Right. It's one thing to point out because, like, yeah, we may be having, like, our media may be more accepting and everybody's talking about it, but these homes that are still deeply religious are still the same way.
Exactly. To be even more specific, in the summer that marriage equality was passed in New York, the number of homeless kids looking for shelter went up 40%.
Oh my God.
And also keep in mind that LGBT people are actually 7 times more likely to commit suicide, more likely to be the victims of an attack from, they're more likely to be, especially homeless youth, more likely to be victims of sexual assault, murder, harassment.
Horrible.
So it's almost like within the LGBT community, you know, since Stonewall, they've created this narrative, the LGBT community has created this narrative of what they want the face of the gay community to look like, right? And what would you say that face looks like? The face of the LGBT community, what does that look like?
A young white man.
Happy, living his life, getting it together. Yes. Come on, world, I got this, right?
Right.
And since Stonewall, even though this has always been the case that these homeless kids not having a home, homeless kids aren't cute. It ain't cute. So no one wants to put that as the poster child of what it means to be gay.
Right.
Personally, this kills me. When I read this article, it was really hard to read, and I definitely, you know, cried a few different times. I think back to, had I come out when I was in high school, I think that this could have just as well have been me. And I don't know what it is that I would have done. Like, you're in high school, you come out, and your parents, you know, you're on your own. And
right. When you're cut off and you're a child, it's hard to come back from that.
Right. I have a few more stories.
These are children.
Yeah. And actually, this guy that I dated in college, he had a very similar story. We had been on a few dates. And during the winter break, I got text messages from him that said, "Die fags, fags go to hell."
What?
And I was like, what? This is weird. And then I talked to him a few weeks ago. I talked to him a few weeks after this. And he had said that his parents had found his phone. They went through and had seen different text messages between us.
Oh my God.
And they had kicked him out of the house. They were not going to pay for his college anymore.
Oh my God.
And they threw him out. And so we had to figure out how to pay for college all on his own. And still to this day, this happened like back when I was in college. This is like 7, 8, 9 years ago. He still hasn't talked to his parents to this day.
Oh my God, really?
He hasn't had any contact with his brothers, his nothing like that.
This is insane to me. This is how deep
I kind of want to read a few more stories just to see the different degrees of what our youth are facing. There was this guy named James, not me.
Right.
This Midwestern kid, is Latino. His family was Catholic, then Pentecostal, then Jehovah Witness, and then back to Catholic. His mother was a divorce lady, went through it all.
Whoa, okay.
His mother had said, talking about gay people, she said, "It's disgusting, it's sick, and it's adding to the end of the world," and that she left all of her children except for him.
What?
His mom had one day went through his phone while he was out at work. He had found the courage to start dating a guy, and she had found pictures of him kissing a boy. And when he came home, his mom called him a whore.
Oh my God.
Said that he would die of STDs and made him move out of his brother's room because she was like afraid that her other son would catch the gay. And then when he graduated, she told him that her house was not open to people like you.
Oh my God.
Now he's He's 18, and he hitchhiked. He was in the Midwest, and he hitchhiked all the way to Florida.
What?
And that just terrifies me because I can't believe he's not.
You don't know what's going to happen to you if you hitchhike.
I can't believe he's not dead. So he's risking his life, and he was like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And he was sleeping in warehouses, and he said,
oh my God,
that sometimes he's like, for the first week, you think, shit, I'm dying of hunger. But after a while, you can't feel it anymore.
This is horrible.
But he eventually got in touch with a friend in Atlanta, and they got him hooked up with a shelter
Good.
Called Lost and Found.
Okay.
So there are shelters, but there are shelters around the country, but the problem is the amount of shelters specifically for LGBT youth.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 in 5 LGBT youth are actually unable to even secure short-term shelter, and 16% can't get assistance with longer-term shelter. And this is double that of non-LGBT
peers.
God. And about $5 billion of government money is spent annually on homeless assistance,
yeah.
but less than 5% of that money actually goes to our youth.
Yeah.
And there used to be this act called the Runaway and Homeless Act. It expired last year, and this was the first time it has expired since 1988.
God.
So, and you know,
it expired?
Who we can fucking blame for that. The Republican Party.
Yeah, I know.
Because you know they're like, hey, pull yourself up, like, do it on your own sort of a thing. I did it. Just because you had certain privileges and you weren't faced with certain things. And there's actually...
Weren't kicked out for being who you are when you're a child.
And there's actually no legal federal protections against discriminating for LGBT youth in these homes. And there's also the harassment that these kids do get when they're in these homes. So these kids are in these shelters and the other kids find out that they're gay. They get beaten up. They get harassed. There was this one kid who...
Yeah, I was going to say shelters aren't the safest place either.
Absolutely like, not. There was this one kid. He was peed on.
Oh, my God.
By the, like, 14 other kids who were there. They found out he was gay.
Oh, my God.
And afterwards, he was like, I would never go back there. And looking here in New York specifically, there are over 4,000 homeless youth here and only about 350 beds. And about one-third of those are even designated for LGBT kids. So remembering, thinking about the 40% of these youth are actually LGBT
right.
and how many beds are being allocated even towards them.
That's
and the
nuts.
Harassment that they're getting inside of
Man,
these.
James, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up because everybody, oh, yay, marriage equality, but... We still have the hate woven into our fabric of this country.
And it's not even that. I'm just going to pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, it is the problem of it's the problem of religion. And, you know, there's not, because there's not enough homes that some of these people are creating handbooks for these youth of how to survive being homeless, like how to do it.
Oh my God.
And, you know, there's about a 24 to 48 hour window before these kids do something illegal because they're literally trying to survive. And LGBT youth are overly represented in juvenile hall.
Right.
And they say that we lose about 6 kids to the street a day. So about every 4 hours, there is a new LGBT queer youth kid who's out there on the street.
Oh my God. Every 4 hours, a kid is on the street.
Yeah.
These are children. I want everybody just to realize that these are children. As someone who worked at a high school, and yes, at 18, you're technically an adult, but really spend some time talking to an 18-year-old.
They're fucking
And you
babies.
Realize that they're children. They're children, children, children. And if you're 18 and you're listening to this, yes, you're grown. I get it. But they're... You don't have the support of a career or, you know,
you're also just
a possible education.
Who you are.
Right.
In a world that does not accept you. And now you're trying to, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, provide food and shelter for yourself. Like, you can't even begin to you know, go for those dreams that you have or and no wonder that, you know, there's just like LGBT people
right.
are so fucked up. We have so many other issues that we're also dealing with, and then also our parents fucking kicked us out of the house.
It's ridiculous.
And if we look at this even further, the Advocacy for Youth study looked at this about how this actually affects specifically LGBT youth of color. The statistics are even, you know, worse.
Greater. Yeah.
So youth of color are significantly less likely to have told their parents actually that they are gay. About 80% of GLBTQ whites were out to their parents, and only about 71% of Latinos, and only 61% of African Americans, black folks, and 51% of Asians. Black queer youth are more likely to suffer from low self-esteem and suicidal thoughts because they're not only combating, you know, being queer, but they're also having to combat the racism of their world. So they really don't feel like the world hates them and that there is no place for them.
Let's be honest, the world is not looking out for them.
Yes.
And the world isn't.
And Latino communities face with machismo and Catholicism and the black community, you know, the black church, and even the Asian Americans feel a lot of shame from their family that they're diverging from their cultural expectations. And then you even get even further that, you know, black and Latino youth are more likely to contract HIV because they're not getting any sort of training or information about any of this.
Education.
And more than half of the ethnic minority transgender youth experience forced sex, while almost 60% have traded sex for money to survive.
Gosh, this is horrible.
And there's actually this one story of this girl, Hannah, who she was in and out of the foster homes, and once she was kicked out, her foster mother had always wanted a girl, but Hannah wasn't girly enough, and she would read her scriptures and saying that she was going to go to hell and all of her sin. She put a knife to Hannah's neck, and she,
what the hell?
Hannah came home, and her stepfather and the police were outside, and the police had to escort her out of the home, and he gave her $20, and she had thought about prostitution, but she was like, just because she needed to survive. She was tempted. $100 can get her, like, you know, a night in a hotel. She obviously didn't go for it. And there was one other last story. There was this kid who, and then I want to end, this is the last story, and then I'm going to wrap it up here. But there was another story of this kid, Luke, who is from Tennessee. And he grew up in like the backwoods of Tennessee. Like the nearest town was 20 miles away, 2,000 people. Wow. He was homeschooled until the second grade, and it stopped after that because his parents were like, oh, that's enough education for you. But his dad used to perform exorcisms. So he knew that if he came out as gay, like his dad was going to do a fucking exorcism on him. And his daddy once said, his dad said that we should put all gay people in a place and just kill them all. So
what the hell?
Luke knowing this is like, ah, fucking shit. And he tells his mom that he's gay, and his mom says, if you want to live, don't tell your dad. So,
oh my God.
Because of the beauty of the internet, Luke was able to, you know, tell his story to a friend he knew in Portland. And he, Luke is like, you know, he's a kid. And so, he made a gay friend in Portland, and that person sent him $300 for a train ticket to get to Portland.
Wow. That's good. That's amazing. But not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. And so what I want to challenge and I want to say specifically to the LGBT community, we have to actually really fucking wake the fuck up because this is an epidemic. Our community and our future generations of our community are dying. And we've been going about our movement in the wrong way. We need to be focusing on the economics and the future of our current kids. Because it's not necessarily about, you know, just don't ask, don't tell, or, you know, marriage equality. That's great and that's fine and that's fucking, you know, dandy. But it's about making sure that our youth are safe. Like, we need to be taking care of our own. And these statistics are just so fucking overwhelming.
I know.
And I see it, like, and there's so much money in the LGBT community as well. Like, we started to make it. There's so much money. I even went to, like, an A-list gay party once. Like,
oh, was this up in Wine Country?
In San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a Wine Country one that you went to.
Oh, yeah, I went to one of those, too. Like, I see the fucking amount of money that is just pouring all over. And, hello, what about looking back to these kids who don't have anything?
Right.
So we need to be opening up more homes. We need to be volunteering. Right. We need to be reaching out to these youth. Because that you made it does not...
Like you said with Luke, all it took was a $300 train ticket, and he got to escape.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of money, why, like, protect children, protect these youth, you know?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as an ally, you know, from the other side of the coin, you know, these are children. Like, let's look out for children. Let's make sure that they are in good hands and are protected and are safe. Because, like you said, they're our future. We want them to grow up well.
Absolutely. And I want to say, I'm calling this out. I mean, the saddest thing is that these parents are choosing religion over their kids. They're choosing their fucking religion over their kids. I'm so fucking pissed. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because if this religion is supposed to be about universal love, then that's what you need to fucking be about. And if you can't handle having a gay kid, then you can't handle being a parent. So don't fucking have any kids. Snip it. Wear the fucking condoms. Don't have sex because you are not able to understand what it means, unconditional love. And if you're talking about your black Jesus or your regular Jesus or the whatever religion is that you are, you know, sacrificing all of your love for, then you need to understand the full thing of it.
And the real fucked up thing is that these, they're kids, they're babies who are not murderers, they're not drug dealers. But you know what? They'd probably be even more forgiving and understanding to them if they were. Which is just so fucking weird.
I mean,
weird.
In fact, Jesus spoke about loving everybody.
And there's this guy, Carl Cicillano. He's named, they call him Baby Jesus.
What?
He is this monk. He's this monk who, he came out and now runs a shelter in New York.
Oh, wow.
And he came out, and he obviously is no longer with the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But he had wrote an open letter to Pope Francis, and it was published in the New York Times.
Right.
And he said, Your Holiness, I write to you as a Roman Catholic, a former Benedictine, did I say that right? Benedictine?
Yeah, you did.
Monk, and as a gay man who has spent over 30 years serving the homeless. He then went on to explain his stance on homosexuality, how it tears families apart, and begged the head of the church, which disregards biblical passages about atrocities like slavery and genocide, to see that the time has come to reconsider a teaching that yields such a bitter harvest. The Pope needs to come out and say, this is unacceptable. You need to fucking love your kids. That's what it's about.
Yes. Love your kids. Support your family. Love one another. We're just all people trying to make things work. We all have our own thing. We all want to be loved. Why can't we just share that? I mean, it sounds so hokey to say it, but it's the truth, you know? It is.
And the number one hurdle that LGBT folks are facing are this, you know, religious-based bigotry. Mm-hmm. And for some of these kids who have grown up in religion, just because they leave the house or run away, doesn't mean that shame still follows them.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what's been planted into their head. So they still have, like, shame from, you know, God.
Right.
And they have to then unpack all of that.
Right.
And to feel loved. They then have to work that much harder to feel that they not only can love and deserve to be loved and are worth it.
Right.
And so the face of the gay rights movement doesn't need to be some, you know, 40-year-old gay, well-moisturized white couple.
Well-moisturized. You know, right.
It needs to be some 15-year-old kid that's been thrown out of the house.
Right.
And taught that he's a sinner.
Because that's the future. That's what's happening right now as you speak. Like you said, every 4 hours. That's insane to me. I had no idea it was that big. Like, I knew, but I didn't know to that level. And I'm so grateful that you, like, you know, are bringing this issue up. Because a lot of times, especially allies or people who see themselves as allies, we'll see like, oh, we have a black president, yay, black issues, done.
Oh,
we have marriage equality, yay, gay issues are done. No, these issues are persistent. We need to constantly work on ourselves. Nothing is ever done.
Absolutely.
Nothing is ever done.
And I feel like I'm, you know, still, you know, I want to say a big thank you to Lady Gaga. I have been, for some reason, Born This Way has been coming onto my workout mix over and over again. And I, you know, when it first came out, I thought, oh, the song is a little hokey and okay. And I think, but now I'm like listening to it and now that I feel you know, I'm in a very wonder. I love me, and I grew up in a religious household, but it has taken a journey to fully love and accept myself. And sometimes there's still sometimes a little bit of shame that creeps up or whatnot. So it's still a bit of a journey, and I still have to, you know, I'm still growing on that. But I'm in an absolutely beautiful, loving relationship right now, and I'm so grateful for that. And
that's good.
I think about this that, you know, I think we focused way too much on Born This Way sounding so much like Express Yourself and not really looking at the message of what Gaga was doing, and that how many artists have ever put forward a specific and calling it out, not just like a coded dog whistling gay anthem, but a fucking, this is a gay anthem, this is for you. And how many artists have actually done that? How many have done that since then? Even then, she was still ahead of the time. And I think if you know, especially those in the LGBT community who didn't like the song or those outside of it, then that song wasn't for you. In the same way that if you don't get Formation, you don't understand it, that song's not for you. And we need more Gagas. So thank you, Lady Gaga, like, for stepping forward and creating a home for the little monsters. And
la 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 la,
it's a beautiful song, and really you should just Express Yourself 2.0.
baby, I was born this way. Come on the show, Gaga.
Oh yeah, we should get her. I mean, I'm in New York, so to close,
yeah,
everybody, especially the LGBT community, you got hella money. Some of y'all dig fucking deep, and we need to take care of our own. These numbers suck. We need to create more housing opportunities and mentorships for our youth. We need to reach back, because our community is gonna be fucking dead. And parents, get your shit together. All right, I'm sad as fuck. Let's go to Quizlet Corner.
Na 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 na.
Born This Way.
Born this way.
Answer a question time.
Yeah.
That's our first time doing that theme song. I think we need to work on that one.
It was a little rusty.
Yeah, I mean, it was our first time. Stop judging us, everybody. You know what? Go fuck yourself.
You guys.
I'm still angry.
Now we're in answer a question time. And I believe you have the question.
Aneke, yes. There was a question that one of our listeners asked, is how did Aneke and I meet?
What? We met on a cloud in a dreamlike state in Nebraska.
We were on a magic carpet ride. And Aneke was hella drunk, and she was like throwing up on the magic carpet.
Why do I have to be hella drunk?
Aneke, I think that you were drunk when we first met.
No, you were a freshman. We both went to UC Santa Cruz. What? Go True. Banana Slugs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was living in one of the apartments on campus.
You were. I was in the dorms. I was in the basement dorms.
Sad. And did we meet because you popped into my office, or my room? Not my office. Why?
Step into my office, and Aneke used to say to all the freshmen, and it was just her dorm room, and we would be like, okay, this is weird. She's crazy. Step into my office.
I was a businesswoman in college. Excuse you.
She was an HBIC always and forever. Do you know what's really weird?
I came out of the womb with a briefcase.
You did. You were like, ready for work. Point me to the office. Where's my fax machine?
Work. I thought I'd throw that in there.
You were always a work bitch. I'm gonna cut this. But you know, my dad filled. Do you know my dad filled out? My dad filled out my questionnaire, my roommate questionnaire, which they tell you.
Oh, he did. Why?
Because he was. Yes, isn't that weird? He filled out my roommate questionnaire, and they say, parents, don't do this. And then, like, he requested, there's only, like, one hall that's a men's hall and one that's a women's hall, because it's Santa Cruz. It's everybody live with everybody.
Yeah, and, like, I lived on a co-ed hall my freshman year.
Most people did. And, of course, my dad requested the men's hall. Well, boy, was that a mistake.
I know, I was going to say
little does he know.
That was a present wrapped in a bow.
Thanks, Dad. but I don't, I think I came into your apartment, like, we had mutual friends.
Yeah, I think, but yeah.
God, we are not doing a great job remembering how we met. It was in college. There was not a specific
moment. It was in college. I definitely remember you used to come into me and Mallory. Shout out to Mallory. Hey, girl. Our apartment. Yes. I remember one time around Halloween, you came in wearing a scream mask and you gave a lap dance to somebody in the room. I did. And then you ran out.
And then I remember you being hella drunk once in your bed, being like, ugh, get out.
Probably. It was college.
Yeah.
I just turned 21.
You used to have porn parties, gay porn parties, where you would
You would
gather
once.
All your friends around to watch gay porn and fast forward to the Benny Hill music.
It was straight porn.
Welcome to college. And in your apartment,
it was straight, James. It was straight porn. We had a dick cake. No, because I remember the big old fake boobs and the big nails that we borrowed from a person that will remain nameless, other student at UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And it was a tape.
And that's when that same apartment, that's when I learned the Labyrinth drinking game.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listeners, corner kids. Every time you watch Labyrinth,
there's a game to play.
And you see, rest in peace, David Bowie. But every time you see his cod piece, take a shot.
Yeah. You're drunk like 20 minutes into the movie, and that like cock shot.
You'll be drunk.
You will be wasted.
Take a shot of beer. Yeah. Because you're going to need to sustain yourself through it.
That's the magic. And then that following summer, Aneke and I, we both were staying in Oakland. For the summer,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, hey, you're here, I'm here, okay, and we hung out, and
we would go movie hopping,
and Eke and I would like pay for one movie and then go see three,
and then we go to Fuddruckers,
and when we go to Fuddruckers afterwards, and we would also like dress in layers, like wear different like outfits, so people wouldn't, they'd be like, oh, I guess it's a different person, okay.
Now you're making it more whimsical.
It's nobody true. Came. Yes, we did. We dress in layers. I was not trying to get caught. Sneaking into some movie. Anna Necky, you know, used to get cast playing husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, brother and sister. And I know that my parents always wished that we would gotten married. But I'm gay.
I think they still do. Like, your mom recently just reposted on Facebook, I think, a picture of us. You, like, posted a picture, and then she reposted the picture of us.
She's like, that's my future daughter-in-law. Nope. You've got a future son.
Sorry.
You've got a French future son-in-law coming your way, mama. So get ready for that. Well, that was fun.
Whoa. Look what? At you.
Well, whatever.
Oh.
Okay.
Future.
Anyways. Oh. Stop it. I'm going to get embarrassed. Next question.
Okay, I'm
there
done.
Are none. Next segment. Get me out of here.
Ask us questions. We'll be more than happy to give you ridiculous answers. So tweet at us, Minority Corner with a K, or go to our Facebook page, whatever. Just ask us a question.
Yeah. Anything. We'll tell all.
Quizlet Corner.
All right, Aneke.
All right, so I'm ready.
Here we go.
You have stumped me the past two times, so I am ready.
Today will be no different. I hope you studied all of your current events. Okay. 103 people showed up to the anti-Beyonce protest rally outside of NFL headquarters in response to
wait,
formation.
Wait.
What?
James.
What?
I don't know what I'm guessing.
Oh. I'm sorry. So now I'm actually just reading you facts.
I know.
Fair enough. Okay. You don't know if it's multiple choice. You don't know if it's an
essay.
I don't know. You don't know if it's an interpretive dance.
That's how you're going to stump me, because I don't know what I'm doing.
You get to the end, I'm like, Aneke, wow. Well, what's the answer? You're like, I don't know what you're asking.
I know.
Girl, it's that coffee. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what am I doing?
One of these is not true.
Okay, one of them is not true.
Okay, now can I go?
All right, I'm ready.
Now can I start?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
I am ready.
103 people showed up to the anti-Beyonce protest rally outside of NFL headquarters in response to the formation performance at Super Bowl.
Okay.
Could be true, could not be true. Latinos have passed whites as the largest ethnic group in California. Could be true, could not be true. An anti-gay group called the Stop Safe Schools Coalition accidentally raised thousands of dollars for an LGBTQ teen gala. Could not be true. And last one is South Dakota became the first state to pass an anti-transgender student bathroom bill. One of these is
anti-transgender student bathroom bill?
Yeah. So no transgender bathrooms. South Dakota said no. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. One of them's not
Okay. Oh, are you done?
That was your thinking music.
Oh, I didn't even know you were done, James.
It's that coffee. I'm like ready. I'm like, all right, and I can get your answer, okay.
Okay, I think I know.
Which one?
Nobody showed up to the Beyonce thing.
Actually, there were three people that showed up, but you're right. That number is incorrect. Basically, nobody showed up, and they were hella embarrassed.
Those three people were just, like, on their way to coffee or something. They're like, oh, all right.
Probably, yeah. Latinos are now the largest ethnic group in California. They are now 14.99 million to 14.
Woo!
To white people are 14.92. So that means white people in California, you are officially a minority. Wow!
Welcome to the club.
So now all the white people welcome in California are part of, they're officially part of Minority Corners. So welcome to.
Well, they still benefit from majority privileges. So.
No, I'm now hoping that now white people just get in California get hella discriminated. Against so.
No James
well just
so radical
is, like this is hey y'all want to be black or like you all want to be a minority welcome.
Oh my lord can we talk about how depressing the other facts are because they're true like the no transgendered bathroom
but the Stop Safe Schools Coalition it's the group in Australia so there's this group called Minus 18 in Australia they were hosting a gala for the gays
Oh, okay.
Or a gala for all the LGBT youth who couldn't go to their proms and that sort of stuff. And you can dress as you want, bring whoever you want. And
so they were doing, I love it.
They were doing a crowdfunding campaign to raise money. Well, okay. Stop Safe Schools Coalition was like, fuck this. We're going to fuck it up.
Oh.
We're going to buy all the tickets so none of the gays can go. They're like the Grinch of gay prom.
Oh my God.
But this backfired because it's just a crowdfunding, so...
So they got all the money.
Well, yes, by you buying the tickets, it just subsidizes. So the kids who can't go, who couldn't buy a ticket, just go to the front and they say, hey, I couldn't buy a ticket, and they get to go in. So the group.
Yes!
Their goal was to raise $15,000, and they raised $30,000.
Yes!
So. Fuck you, awesome. Stop Safe Schools Coalition. You're idiots.
That's awesome. I love it that they actually raised the money and that the kids could still go.
Great. Right. Aren't bigots are hella stupid. They'd be dumb.
Oh, my no. And I'd like to, for the bathroom thing, my school that I work at, and I'm just going to, I don't know if they want to be associated or not. I'll refrain from naming who they are
for now.
But I'm very, 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 very proud of them because they changed two of the bathrooms in the library to all-inclusive bathrooms.
That's fantastic.
I know. They put everybody, like, they have all the little, like, signature, like, you know, like, everybody. Yeah. It's really sweet. I was very, very happy and proud to work there. So, small liberal arts in college in Northern California, Marin, you guys are awesome.
Pay attention, South Dakota. And nobody go visit South Dakota until they fix this shit. We're boycotting South Dakota. Sorry, Mount Rushmore. I can't see those old white dude faces on that mountain.
That is ridiculous. Be inclusive. It does not hurt anybody. It just helps everybody.
Aneka, you won the game. You won Quizlet Corner today. Congratulations. You're back on your win streak.
Yay! I'm back. I'm back.
I'm going to stump the shit out of you next week, so get ready.
Whoa.
Annie,
oh my God. That was Annie, like a threat.
Annie, get your fucking gun.
That made my butt clench. That's too much.
It's the coffee. I can't have coffee anymore. I can't drink alcohol during podcasting, and I can't drink coffee, and I just do it straight.
You're just a sensitive. You have a sensitive body.
You're a sensitive, delicate.
I know. We need to do experiments with you. Next time, you need to be high on weed, and then we'll see how it goes.
Aneke, I'll just be in the closet and terrified, and I won't be responding to anything. I get hella paranoid. It's a bad idea. All right, but if that's what the listeners want.
All right, we'll try it. We'll try it out. All right, Quizlet Corner, thanks. I'm back on. I feel good. I feel whole. Back on track.
Annie up for next week. Bitch. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
It's the coffee. right, let's close this. Neke, I want to start the segment off with an apology for my behavior in the last segment.
It's, all right.
I called you a bitch. I never like calling women bitches, so I
wasn't. My butt is now unclenching because...
I'm sorry if you were offended.
Ew.
I want to do a celebrity apology. I'm sorry if you were offended, Neke.
That's like your classic Real Housewives apology.
It's like a non-apology at all.
Is I'm sorry that you're offended, but, you know, whatever.
No, I am genuinely.
No, it's fine.
Next week, I think we should do a little update corner segment as well. Maybe there's some topics that we talked about in the past that we can update our listeners on. So that'll be fun.
Oh, I like this. Okay. Yeah, let's try it out. Oh, yeah. And James, I'm going to give some shout-outs because we got some shout-outs.
We got some
shout-outs. I want to say thank you to Colin Anderson for tweeting the podcast out, promoting us on Twitter.
Thank you
so much. You're the best. And then also follow us on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K. And then right when we were recording, I got a text message from my good friend Kevin and Heather Zamani, and it says, driving to Santa Rosa and listening to Minority Corner, laughing out loud with Heather. The sound sounds much better, and I'm learning about the Black Panthers. Capital thank you. Thank you, you guys. You guys are the best. Longtime listeners, longtime friends.
Absolutely. Thanks, y'all. And, okay, what an amazing episode. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a nap.
I know. I need to take a shower. I've sweated out all my clothes.
Oh, well,
I just get so sweaty when I record the podcast.
Wow, you heard it first. Aneke is a sweaty beast.
it's a beautiful glow that eventually lends itself into a drip.
Okay. Well, on that note, thanks for listening, everybody. Be careful of that sweaty drip.
Thank you.
It might get you. See you next week.
Oh, bye.
Bye.